I'm just want to finish off by speaking for a few moments about how to look for beauty.
Jeg vil afslutte med at tale nogle få øjeblikke om det at være på udkig efter skønheden.
How to recognize God in the everyday.
Hvordan vi kan genkende Gud i hverdagen.
And the gift of living in the present moment.
Og gaven at leve i det nuværende øjeblik.
So let's pray.
Så lad os bede.
Help me, O God.
Hjælp mig, O Gud.
To learn the beautiful language of nature.
At lære naturens skønne sprog.
So that I might be able to read the manuscripts of God.
Så at jeg bliver i stand til at læse Guds manuskripter.
Give me a hearing heart so I may understand what I read.
Giv mig et lyttende og hørende hjerte så jeg forstår hvad jeg læser.
And a humble heart so I might learn even from the ants.
Og et ydmygt hjerte så jeg endda kan lære af myrerne.
How better to live my life.
Hvordan jeg bedre kan leve mit liv.
So often we become so busy in the church.
Så tit bliver vi så travle i menighederne.
And so narrow in what we think's okay.
Og så snævre i det vi tror og mener er i orden.
That we lose the habit of profitable pleasure.
At vi mister vanen at have gavn af fornøjelser.
Charles Darwin was at one time in his life so pleasured by music.
Charles Darwin blev en gang i sit liv så fornøjet af musik.
He said his backbone shivered.
At han sagde at hans ryggrad skælvede.
But in his article recollections.
Men i hans artikel tilbage minder.
He recalls the tragic decline of pleasure.
Der beskriver han hvor tragisk denne fornøjelse tog af.
He writes, I have said that in one respect.
Jeg har sagt at i en forstand.
My mind has changed during the last 20 or 30 years.
Er mit sind blevet anderledes over de sidste 20-30 år.
Up to the age of 30.
Indtil jeg var 30.
Poetry.
Der var digt.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Historical plays.
Historiske skuespil.
Great art.
Stor billedkunst.
Gave me considerable pleasure.
De gav mig så stor fornøjelse.
And music was a very great delight.
Og musik var sådan en fryd for mig.
But now for many years I cannot endure to read a line of poetry.
Men nu har det i mange år været sådan at jeg ikke kan holde ud og læse bare en linje poesi.
I've tried lately to read Shakespeare.
Jeg har for nylig prøvet at læse Shakespeare.
And found it intolerably dull and it nauseated me.
Og fandt det uudholdeligt kedeligt og fik kvalme af det.
I have also lost my taste for pictures or music.
Jeg har også mistet min smag for billeder og musik.
Music generally now sets me thinking too energetically.
Musikken for det meste får den mig nu til at tænke for energisk.
Making me focus on how much work I have to do.
Og får mig til at fokusere på hvor meget arbejde jeg har at gøre.
Instead of giving me pleasure.
I stedet for at den giver mig nydelse.
I do retain some taste for fine scenery.
Jeg har en smule smag tilbage for smukke landskaber.
But it does not cause me the exquisite delight which it formerly did.
Men det giver mig ikke den udsøgte fryd som det gjorde tidligere.
This curious and lamentable loss.
Dette mærkelige og beklagelige tab.
Of the higher ascetic tastes is all the odder.
Af den højere æstetiske sans.
Because books and travel on scientific facts
er des mærkeligere fordi bøger og rejser om videnskabelige kendsgerninger
interest me as much as they ever did.
Interesserer mig lige så meget som de altid har gjort.
My mind seems to have become a kind of machine.
Min forstand er ligesom blevet til en slags maskine
for collecting facts.
Hvor jeg indsamler kendsgerninger.
But this has caused the atrophy of the other part of my mind.
Men det har bevirket at resten af min hjerne er synet væk.
The part on which the higher tastes depend.
Den del som de højere sanser afhænger af.
Other men may not have suffered such.
Det kan være andre ikke har lidt på samme måde den samme slags.
And if I had my life again.
Og hvis jeg kunne leve mit liv om igen.
I would make a rule to read some poetry.
Så ville jeg gøre det til en regel at læse noget poesi.
And listen to some music at least once a week.
Og lytte til noget musik i det mindste en gang om ugen.
For perhaps the parts of my brain now atrophied.
Fordi så ville måske den del af min hjerne, som er blevet, som er helt væk, uvirksom.
Would thus have been kept active through use.
Ville på den måde være forblevet aktiv igennem brugen.
The loss of these tastes is a loss of happiness.
Tabet af denne smag af disse sanser er tabet af lykke.
And may possibly be injurious to my whole intellect.
And may
possibly be of injury or injurious to my whole intellect.
Og måske fører det i virkeligheden skade med sig for hele mit intellekt.
And more probably to my moral character.
Og mere sandsynligt for min moralske karakter.
It has made feeble the emotional part of my being.
Det har gjort den følelsesmæssige del af mit væsen svag.
Now, if someone like Darwin suffers loss.
Hvis en som Darwin lider tab.
How much more so will we if we fail to use the whole of our minds?
Hvor meget mere vil vi så ikke gøre det, hvis ikke vi sørger for at bruge hele vores sind?
Beauty and pleasure only become evil.
Skønhed og nydelse bliver kun ondt.
When they are pursued apart from God.
Når vi forfølger dem uden om Gud.
He needs to be center in our lives.
Han må være centrum i vores liv.
Because he is the alpha and the omega of all existence.
Fordi han er al eksistensens alfa og omega.
Saint Augustine discovered this.
Samuel Augustine.
Saint Augustine.
No. Augustin opdagede dette.
Because he pursued pleasure in all its forms.
Fordi han forfulgte nydelser og fornøjelser i alle deres former.
Which always led to disappointment.
Som altid førte til skuffelser.
In fact, he became a prisoner to his own desires.
Faktisk blev han en fange af sine egne begær.
Which always left him wanting more.
Som bare altid efterlod ham med lysten til endnu mere.
Because what he was ultimately looking for was God.
Fordi det han i virkeligheden var på udkig efter, det var Gud.
And of course, when he found God.
Og da han fandt Gud.
He wrote something like, "Late have I discovered thee, O ancient of beauty."
Så skrev han noget i retning af, at sent opdagede jeg dig og din elgamle skønhed.
And so we need to understand that God is in beauty. God is in all creative stuff that is because he is the creator.
Så vi må forstå at Gud er i alt det skabte, fordi han er skaberen.
It becomes idolatrous and less than when it's separated from him.
Det bliver til afgudsdyrkelse og noget mindre end hvis det bliver skilt fra ham.
Van Gogh said. Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Van Gogh. Christ is more of an artist than the artist.
Kristus er en større kunstner end kunstneren er.
He works in the living spirit and the living flesh.
Han arbejder med det levende kød og den levende ånd.
He makes men instead of statues.
Han skaber mennesker i stedet for statuer.
Now for us, in order to move from our imprisoned minds,
for os, for at vi kan bevæge os ud af vores fangne sind,
you know, though enslaved by fear or fantasy and introspection,
som er taget til fange af frygt og fantasi og selvbetragtning,
we need to know how to practice the discipline of awareness to God's presence in this world.
Der må vi lære at opøve det at være bevidst om Guds nærvær i den her verden.
In John 15, when the disciples said, "Now you're speaking to us plainly."
I Johannes 15, hvor disciplene sagde til Jesus, "Nu taler du lige ud til os."
But why have you not made your Why have you made your plans clear to us and not to the world?
Men hvorfor har du gjort dine planer tydelige for os, men ikke for verden?
Jesus says, because a loveless world is a sightless world.
Fordi Jesus sagde, at en kærlighedsløs verden er en synsløs verden.
So when we leave here, we need to say, open my eyes to help me see where you're working.
Så må vi sige, når vi går herfra, åbn mine øjne, så jeg kan se, hvad du gør.
Fill me with love.
Fyld mig med kærlighed.
Open my eyes to your beauty.
Åbn mine øjne for din skønhed.
To practice the presence of God.
Og at udøve eller praktisere Guds nærvær.
Is to rediscover connectedness with ourselves.
Det er at genopdage forbundetheden med os selv.
With the whole of life.
Med hele livet.
And with God.
Og med Gud.
Jack Dominion says.
Jack Dominion siger.
Life is shaped moment by moment.
Livet bliver formet det ene øjeblik efter det andet.
Through an awareness of the significant other.
Igennem en bevidsthed om den betydningsfulde anden.
Who gives meaning to our reality.
Som giver mening til vores virkelighed.
And so we have to pray to develop the capacity.
Så vi må bede om at udvikle evnen.
To develop the capacity to enjoy all that God has created.
Til at nyde alt det, som Gud har skabt.
C.S. Lewis says we need to learn to look for that moment where God is revealing himself.
C.S. Lewis siger, at vi må være på udkig efter det øjeblik, hvor Gud åbenbarer sig selv.
It may be watching a child play.
Måske sker det, mens vi ser et barn, der leger.
Or the beauty of sun on autumn leaves.
Eller solen, som skinner på efterårsbladene.
Or the beauty of sun on water making it look like liquid diamonds.
Eller solen, der blinker i vandet og får det til at se ud som flydende diamanter.
Or a moment of connectedness and intimacy with a friend.
Eller et øjeblik af forbundethed og inderligt samvær med en ven.
And as we live like that, we become fully alive to God and His universe.
Og når vi lever på den måde, så bliver vi helt til stede over for Gud og hans univers, helt levende.
Now we can only do this if we live in the present moment.
Det kan vi kun gøre, hvis vi lever i nuet.
If we're forever living in our imaginations.
Hvis vi altid lever i vores forestillingsevne,
thinking about the past,
hvor vi tænker på fortiden,
thinking about the future,
tænker på fremtiden,
then we cannot experience God in the now.
Så kan vi ikke opleve Gud i nuet.
And for me, that was one of the most significant steps in my Christian walk.
Og for mig var det et af de mest betydningsfulde skridt i min kristne vandring.
We have to learn how to stay present to Jesus now.
Vi må lære at forblive nærværende for Jesus nu.
Not continually looking backwards or forwards.
Og ikke hele tiden se tilbage eller fremad.
You know, and we fail to do this so subtly.
Og det er noget, som så let og ubemærket finder sted.
We can arrive at one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Vi kan ankomme til et af de smukkeste steder i verden.
Only to find the weather was different yesterday.
Bare for at opdage, at vejret var anderledes i går.
And find ourselves thinking, why weren't we here yesterday?
Og hvor vi så tænker, hvorfor var jeg her ikke i går?
We so miss the present moment and we miss pleasure and enjoyment.
Vi går sådan glip af det nuværende øjeblik, og vi mister nydelse og fornøjelse.
When we keep thinking of ways we can improve it.
Når vi bliver ved med at tænke på måder at forbedre det på.
You know, life's a life to be lived, not a problem to be solved.
Livet skal leves. Det er ikke et problem, der skal løses.
You know, which is why Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow."
Og det er derfor Jesus siger, bekymre jer ikke om i morgen.
For tomorrow will bring its own worries.
Fordi i morgen bringer sine egne bekymringer med.
Today's trouble is enough for today.
I dags bekymringer er nok for dig.
Gerard Sitzer writes, "If we live for God,"
sorry,
Gerard Sitzer.
Gerald Sitzer skriver, at hvis vi lever for Gud,
God promises to use the present moment to redeem the past.
Så lover Gud at bruge det nuværende øjeblik til at forløse fortiden.
However unchangeable and how difficult our past may have been.
Hvor uforanderlig og hvor vanskelig vores fortid end måtte have været.
And to prepare us for the future.
Og til at forberede os til fremtiden.
No matter how predictable that unpredictable that may be.
Uanset hvor uforudsigelig den må være.
This is the testimony to his love and power.
Det er et vidnesbyrd om hans kærlighed og kraft.
And St. Paul writes, I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation.
Og Paulus skriver, jeg har lært at være tilfreds under alle forhold.
Now before I learned how to live in the present moment,
før jeg lærte at leve i nuet,
I spent a lot of time rehearsing how I was going to do things.
Så brugte jeg meget tid på at gennemløbe, hvordan jeg ville gøre tingene.
Whilst I was learning how to live in the present moment.
Og mens jeg lærte at leve i nuet.
I had a neighbor of mine, a friend of mine, who was dying of cancer.
Så havde jeg en nabo, som var min ven, som var ved at dø af kræft.
And I used to walk around her rehearsing in my head what sort of prayers I was going to pray.
Og jeg plejede at gå rundt om hende og forberede og gennemleve de bønner, som jeg ville bede.
I spent my life rehearsing how to do things.
Jeg blev ved med at bruge mit liv med at ligesom øve mig på det, jeg ville gøre.
Maybe I'll pray an Agnes Sanford prayer today, or.
Måske skal jeg bede sådan en Agnes Sanford bøn i dag.
Or maybe I'll go around there and pray, please meet her at her deepest need.
Eller måske skal jeg bede, mød hende, hvor hun har dybeste behov.
Then when I started to live in the present moment, I learn how to stop doing that.
Men da jeg så begyndte at leve i nuet, så lærte jeg at holde op med at gøre det.
And once I'd stopped it, I walked around to her one day.
Og da jeg først var holdt op med det, så gik jeg hen til hende en dag.
And I saw for the very first time.
Og jeg så for allerførste gang.
The most beautiful roses with gossamer on them.
De smukkeste roser med et eller andet på dem.
Glistening as the sun was shining through them.
Der glitrede, mens solen skinnede på dem og igennem dem.
I'd never seen them before.
Jeg havde aldrig opdaget dem før.
My eyes had not been open to living before.
Fordi mine øjne havde ikke været åbne for at leve før.
I'd only ever thought about it.
Jeg tænkte ikke engang på det.
The Father's put us into this world.
Far har anbragt os i denne her verden.
Not to walk through it with lowered eyes.
Ikke for at vi skal gå igennem dem med sænket blik.
But to search for him through things, events and people.
Men for at vi skal søge efter ham igennem ting og begivenheder og mennesker.
We have to learn how to confine ourselves to the present moment.
Vi må lære at begrænse os til nuet.
It is the only place he is.
Det er det eneste sted han er.
This present moment with all of its beauty.
Det nuværende øjeblik med al dets skønhed.
Is most like eternity.
Er mest som evigheden.
Because it's the only moment we can know the eternal God.
Fordi det er det eneste øjeblik, hvor vi kan kende den evige Gud.
C.S. Lewis was once asked to define happiness.
C.S. Lewis blev engang bedt om at definere lykke.
And he said, I used to look round that bend.
Og han sagde, jeg plejede at kigge rundt om hjørnet.
Climb that hill.
Stige over den høj.
Want to know what was going to happen tomorrow.
Ønske at vide, hvad der kommer til at ske i morgen.
But I'm here now.
Men nu er jeg her.
And that is enough.
Og det er nok.
Thank you, Father.
Tak, far.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, how are we doing? Is that all right? Fantastic. Just in case you're curious or puzzled, surprised, or you just need to know, I am an ordained minister in the Church of England. Just in case you wondered how suddenly I'd popped up and was wearing this strange white strip around my neck. Some people that leaves you uneasy, others you now feel a little more at ease. Don't tell me which way round it is. Okay. we're just going to remind ourselves as if we needed to be reminded that in fact this week our experience has been a Trinitarian one. So we're going to have some words on the screen, I hope. There we go.
Graham siger, at han vil bare minde os om, at det vi har hørt her, at det har været alt sammen ud fra et treenighedssyn. Jeg vil sammen lige indskyde, at vi oversætter ikke liturgien, fordi vi gerne vil have det i et flow. Så er jeg bare forberedt på det.
So let's just proclaim what is true in this moment and what's been true all week and what will continue to be true as we walk out from here. Is the Father here? He is. Is the Son here?
He is.
Is the Holy Spirit here?
He is.
And he eternally will be present with us. Amen?
Amen.
It's very good news. Very good news. I'm going to read from Isaiah before we move in just to a brief time of confession, which of course you've been doing all week and surely it's done by now. For goodness sake, I've had enough. Is that how you feel? There's always more, isn't there? Moment by moment, we just need to keep the slate clean. From Isaiah 53. Beginning at verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, our pains, our sicknesses. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So just in the stillness and the quietness of your heart, we're just going to confess and acknowledge our continued sin and wickedness. Just allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind those things that even today we just need to acknowledge before him, that we might know forgiveness and be washed whiter than snow once more. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to move into a time or a continued time of celebrating the Last Supper, as is fairly apparent. The Last Supper, a command that Jesus made to his friends to remember him. But it's something that we remember now, and that work and the presence of God continues as we enter into this celebration of thanksgiving, as we receive the bread and the wine. So by faith, he continues to be present in us and works in us. That's good news. As he has been doing all week, he will continue to do so, even in this sacrament. By faith, it is ministered, and by faith, we receive it. I'd encourage you during this time to just remain, perhaps with your eyes open, to feast on what is before you, with your senses and with your eyes particularly, the symbols that have been around all week, as you know and have engaged with, somehow speak to the heart more powerfully sometimes than words. They penetrate deep and they penetrate without all the clutter of our thinking. So I'm going to encourage you, which may not be your tradition, just to remain engaged with the symbol, the bread and the wine, through this time together. I'm going to read firstly from John John chapter 15. Just a word to take on as we move from this place and back to our lives, whatever that means, whatever the circumstances, whether that's back home with family, whether that's back into to work, whatever the situations, this word is to sit in us, and we are to continue to live it out in hope and in obedience. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Isn't that wonderful? We obey, we abide in his word and his truth. His love is revealed in us. We know him. And we are filled with joy. We go away from this place knowing the joy of the Lord. We simply need to obey and to love. And as we do that, so God is revealed. God is revealed in our loving. God is revealed to the world in the way we love, the way that we know love. That is our testimony, if you like, and our witness to him by the way that we love one another. Also, our testimony, our witness is by the way that we are transformed, by the fact that we leave this place in some way different. And our story is a story that witnesses to the resurrection. It witnesses to who Jesus is. So as we go from this place, we are to live that, to speak it, to be it, so that the world may know that our God is a God who transforms, that he is the God of love. Amen?
Amen.
Just to remind you that the wine is non-alcoholic wine, and gluten-free wafer or a biscuit is available, and that'll be to your right. Okay, gluten-free for those that are concerned about that. I'm going to use parts of the liturgy from the Anglican Church, traditional liturgy. I shan't go through the whole all the pages in the book, you'll be relieved to know. But it's liturgy, words that have been shaped over the years and in some way not changed over the centuries, that speak of the truth of that which we have experienced through this week. Eternal truths that will never change, whose power remains in this moment and will remain. So, Father, we just want to thank you for all that you have done. We praise you for who you are, for all that you are doing, all that you've promised to do. Thank you that you are a God who fulfills his promises, that you are faithful, trustworthy. That which you've begun, you will finish. Father, help us as we leave this place to praise you with all that we are, in the way we think, the way we live, the way we relate, the way we love. It will be honoring to you. So, Father, thank you for this time together now to celebrate, as you commanded, that Last Supper that you had with your friends. And we give you thanks and praise for this gift. Father, thank you for your living word, the word that transforms us and changes us. Thank you that you have freed us from slavery, the slavery of sin, and you have sent upon us your Holy Spirit to give us life, life in all its fullness. And we join right now with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, and we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying together these words. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night after he was betrayed, he took bread. And he gave thanks, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when supper was ended, he took the cup of wine and gave you thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself that was made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We proclaim it in our lives. We proclaim it in our stories of all that you have done, that you are a God who is risen and ascended. And we continue to look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ your Son, our Lord. Father, we ask that by your Spirit these gifts of bread and wine would become to us your body and your blood. A body that was broken on a cross, that we might have life, that we might be sustained. We thank you for that great sacrifice, broken flesh. Father, thank you for your blood that you poured out. You poured it out willingly. You poured it out abundantly. You're a God who is uncontainable. Your love flows freely. It flows abundantly. Your sacrifice knows no bounds. Let's just take a moment to gaze upon that great sacrifice. Shocking. But willingly done for you. So merciful Lord, your love poured out on a cross, your blood shed, compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean and our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the Lord, you are the God of our salvation, and you share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. And so I invite you all to draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. If I can invite those who are going to help administer just to come forward, and the team who are involved in anointing, if you could come forward as well, that would be helpful this time. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing again in a moment. Let me just speak some of these words from John 15 once more, and then pray a blessing over you. And then we're going to rejoice, even more than rejoicing already. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things that I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forever. Amen.